Previously on Thomas and the Bible. Let's see. There's some minor prophet stuff. And they probably... I'm just off the top of my head. I've never heard this podcast before. But I'm going to go ahead and guess that they predicted that God was unhappy and he's going to kill everybody. And it's no good because the Israelites are terrible. But one day everything will be fine. Yeah, I think that was it. Thank you, Harley, for the weirdest intro that you've yet given me. So this is kind of fun. Today we get to read we're going to finish Amos, famous Amos, and then we're going to read Obadiah, which is one verse. Why bother? Well, just be zero verses. But first, because I have no one to complain to about this, Patreon has a cool new enhancement where you can't post anything. Pretty neat, guys. Good job, Patreon. That's always a good... See, it's an update. In the past, you were able to post something to Patreon, like a creation. Now, instead of that, they have a thing where you can't. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool enhancement. They have this new interface for posting stuff, and I just, as we speak, you and I tried to post the Atheistically Speaking episode, and nothing. Just says loading for eternity. It won't work. It's the weirdest piece of crap. So that's cool. I always like, that's a good new function. Good job, guys. Crack team. Maybe don't launch something that doesn't work at all, because now I don't know how I can post to Patreon, so that sucks. Anyway, I assume the same thing will happen for this podcast, though. Who knows? Looks like 9 more episodes, including the one you are about to experience, until the New Testament. So 9 more. That's pretty cool. My good friends over at Cognitive Dissonance have taken notice of the fact that I'm almost to the New Testament, and they invited me on at some point, and I'm going to have them on my show because they're great. So that's really cool. Maybe I'll try to make some rounds since I'm switching to the New Testament. It's a pretty big achievement, to be honest. It's years in the making. But enough of all that. Let's continue to watch my Patreon posts just say loading the entire time. Let's do that. That seems fun. No. Let's read Amos 5. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the 7 stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That strengthened the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled should come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take him from his burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord thus saith, wailing shall be in the street, in all streets. And they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. Such as, that's a funny sentence. So I'm going to reread it. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, will say this, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, such as are skillful of lamentation. So it's like, hey, is anyone good at lamentation around here? You good? Hey, you right there, the one crying. Are you good at lamentation? Well, you are? Well, can you come do some mourning for us? Like, what? Someone is calling to mourning, in such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. Or they're like, hey, everyone who's really good at lamenting, can you do some wailing? Here's the thing. We need some wailing. We need some good old fashioned wailing. Because I don't know. We do. It's what we need. So only people who are really good at it. I don't want any half-assed wailers. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness of 40 years, O house of Israel? Have ye borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves? Therefore I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Amos 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye into Calneh and see. From thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate its palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones of the house, and say, oh, man, am I grateful that I don't have any uncles? Well, actually, I probably do, but I don't talk to them. So does that count, God? I think I have 3 uncles. One that I remember liking, but that I don't talk to, and then 2 that I don't really like that I never talk to. So does that count, Lord? Or does it have to be like a man's uncle? Like, it has to be my uncle that I'm close to? Because, I mean, I don't even know that my uncles would recognize me, you know? So how are they going to take me up and burn me, to be honest with you? So I think I might be out of this one. So all that's going to be left is a lot of people who are with no uncles. So that's interesting. Interesting strategy by the Lord. And he that burneth them to bring out the bones of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there any yet with thee? And he shall say, no. Then he shall say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord of God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from entering in of Hamath in unto the river of wilderness. So it was kind of interesting there. I was talking like, in the beginning it was like, oh, anyone who is comfortable, like basically people who are well off, and yet you're not troubled with the, you know, how unholy the land is, you know, I'm going to punish you because how can you sit there and be, and I could imagine that kind of populist appeal being kind of interesting back then. So, but I don't really, I think it's funny that so many prophets had to, or prophets, quote unquote prophets had to write these things saying like, hey, why do no Israelites care about God at all? We're going to get punished. And just for years they would write this. And it's just like, funny to me, like no one cares about God. The very own chosen people are like, yeah, God, I don't really, I could take him or leave him, I don't need him. It's just so funny. Amos 7, thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of the eating of grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive me, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small? The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he shewed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And he said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, this guy must have been a salesman. His name is Amaziah. What's your name? Amaziah, because I'm going to amaze you with these deals. The first used car salesman, Amaziah, the priest, or maybe he's a magician, actually. That'd be like a kind of boring magician name, because like it's not bad enough to be good, and it's not good enough to be bad. No, it's not good enough to be cool, Amaziah, but it's not bad enough to be like funny. So I think it'd be better if he was a car salesman. Anyway, that's decided, now that we've covered that, Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be held away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, my wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. So that's the end of Amos 7. Not, you know, it's kind of more just a prophecy. I'm getting kind of a prophecy vibe from it so far, mainly that. There's some stuff that's going to happen, and it's bad. So kind of that sort of thing. Amos 8. Thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, why, it's a basket of summer fruit. Why do you keep asking me what you're holding? This is a really fun game where the creator of the universe holds an object in front of you and says, hey, what's this? It's a tennis ball. Well, I'm going to take this tennis ball. And I'm like, why are you treating me like a kid? It's kind of weird, you know? The last time it was a plumb line, which I guess means like a plumb, plumb line. Like you put a weight on the bottom of a string and then you hold it and that gives you a straight line. And then that meant something. Like just skip the part where you ask me what I'm holding. Like, hey, what's in my hand? I don't know, pack of gum? Yeah, exactly. Now, here's what I'm going to do to the Israelites with this pack of gum. Like, just tell me what I don't need. We don't need the game where I identify basic objects. But anyway, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit, dummy. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And I said, okay, so what's the bag of fruit for? And why did I have to identify it? And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up as holy as a flood? And it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will daylight savings, it starts. Here it comes. And I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up a sackcloth. Now, if he's going to turn your songs into lamentation, I suggest that you sing Yakety Sax that day, because I don't think even the Lord couldn't turn. Because you picture like someone's playing some songs and the Lord is like snaps his fingers and then all the stuff happens and the songs turn into lamentations. But if you're playing Yakety Sax, I don't think he can do it. I think that's written into the rules of the universe that you can't turn that song into a lamentation. There's no... That's the one that's right. I don't know. It's one of those silly songs. And I will bring up a sackcloth. Funny trying to imagine that as a lamentation. Maybe if like a clown died or something, and then you're showing like a black and white video of the clown's life, and then you're playing like. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's that one. Maybe we should look it up. Nah, who cares? Now let's look it up. Okay, so here it is. Let's see here. Yeah, it's playing. Yeah, this is it, right? Yeah. Sorry, God, you can't turn this into a lamentation. I don't care how hard you try. It's not happening. God, I love the song. It can't not be funny. Why? Why is this so funny? You can't. Yeah. Anyway, it's also. Oh, here, I'll stop it. Yeah, it's like a circus, like a And then I think if there was a dead clown, like in memory of this circus clown, and you play that, maybe then this could be a lamentation. Maybe. Well, anyway, that's the greatest moment in show history, playing Yakety Sax. So the lesson is that the very intellectual and cerebral point of biblical analysis that I want to bring to your attention here, that I want to get us to examine, is if the Israelites were playing Yakety Sax, could God have turned it into a lamentation? And I think no. I think the answer is no. I mean, it just is not, there's no way. I mean, there's nothing, you could have footage of them releasing, you know, like D-Day, when they released everyone from the concentration camps. And I think even then, it would still be funny. Like, you couldn't say Yakety Sax. If you play Yakety Sax with footage of the Holocaust, I'm pretty sure it becomes funny, right? Or at least it's not a lamentation. Would you at least give me that? I know maybe that was a little offensive to say, but at least grant that it would not be as bad. I don't want to isolate, you know, I'm not the Hulk. Let's take some other tragedy. So the Hindenburg, the Titanic. Okay, the Titanic's going down and you have Yakety Sax. It's at least better. And I think even dying victims would grant you that. I'm pretty sure. They'd be like, well, sure, I'm freezing to death out here in this water. It's horrible. But that music, I don't know. I feel better. Feel a little better about it. So, yeah, that's the point I want to make. I think I made it well. All right. So I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. Behold, the days to come, saith the Lord God, that I will send famine to the land, and a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know what would make this famine a lot better? I'm starving to death, and so are you, and yeah, we're all starving to death. I just can't help but think if we heard... Like, I can't help but think I would feel better. I would no longer be hungry. Anyway. Hey, you know what would really hit the spot during this famine? Where was I? And they shall wander from sea to sea, and north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. So here's Amos 9. I think this might be the end. About time. 9 is too many Amoses. Even though it was only 9. Wait, let's see. Is it the end? Or is there 10? Oh, no. Okay, this is the end. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he was just 17. You know what I mean. And he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with a sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. That's interesting. Mention of hell and heaven. Hell and heaven. A woman. No, that's weird. I haven't heard that before. Okay, I just stopped and did some research because, you know, that's the kind of guy I am. And it looks like the word for hell that they're using is shield. Well, I mean, it's obviously not English, but it's the word Hebrew sheol or something. And is it Hebrew or Aramaic? Does that sheol? Whatever. I think I read it was Hebrew. But it doesn't mean hell in the same sense that we know. It actually just means like grave. Or just place where people are dead. So that kind of makes sense. Because I thought heaven and hell weren't really Old Testament things. And I believe that's true. And that the word hell, when it occurs in the Old Testament, it mainly means like just general place of death. Like grave or some sort of vague afterlife. But not really actual hell as like doctrinally. So that's interesting. I just decided I'd look that up. And though they hide themselves at the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence I will command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And they shall go into captivity before their enemies. Thence I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And for the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land. And it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as the flood, as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth, he that called for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have I not brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? You know, he keeps harping on this Israel out of the land of Egypt thing. What has he done for us lately? Because no one he's talking to was around then. So I'm just kind of wondering, maybe try a different tactic. As I've emphasized many times, Lord, whatever you're doing now is not working. Or, you know, by now, I mean then. So whatever you were doing when you were writing this, you know, your 90th volume on how everybody's, you know, screwed because they're not listening to you, maybe try a different tactic because no one seems to care about Egypt anymore. It wasn't that great, I guess. Where was I? Egypt, where the hell? Oh, and the Philistines from Kaphtor and the Syrians from Kir. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, which are called by name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. All right, well, that's the end of whatever the world that was, Amos, not-so-famous Amos. Now we're on to not even less famous Obadiah, because this is one verse. So we're going to finish Obadiah. Now, I've kind of tried to look at the book of Obadiah, but since it's so small, not sure what there is to tell you. When I say that, I mean research like I normally do on what the book is or whatever, but it's another minor prophet, and it seems to just have it's the same thing. Guys, it's just another stupid prophecy about how everything sucks and the Lord is going to punish you and all that, and that's about it. So there's nothing really interesting to tell you. Let's see, I can tell you the date roughly. It's around... it's difficult to determine. There's no personal information. Item is destroyed. So no one knows. Maybe 853 to 841 BC, something like that. 604 BC. It's kind of hard to differentiate because there isn't a nice solid thing like an earthquake to give a date for. So let's just read this piece of crap and we'll be done. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest upon among the stars, Thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave us some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, and they that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, so that the end of every one of Mount Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did not escape, or that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall be done upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountains, so shall the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Judah a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And the Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Boy, great book, Lord. We're done with Obadiah. That was it. So, cool. Good job on that book, Lord. It's a good first draft for one chapter of a book, but I wouldn't make that an entire book. So, when you go to publish, Lord, maybe get rid of this and most of what we've read for the last 4 years, 5 years, whatever it's been. I just get rid of all of it, in fact. I just cancel it. Just one sentence would do, which said, "You're just worship me." That's basically the extent of what we've read so far is, worship me, guys. Come on. That's it. That's all it's been. All right, so anyway, I'm very mad at Patreon right now, but I'm not mad at my lovely patrons, who I am going to try to thank seamlessly as I attempt to navigate this site that I'm so annoyed at. I may be posting this on Patreon a little late, just a heads up to my wonderful patrons, because it currently won't work, as I've said. Pretty crucial part. But anyway, I love you guys so much. I'm going to check if I've had any new patrons. Let's see. What's the date? The date is the 27th. So no new patrons this week, unfortunately. But you can change that. Go to patreon.com/TNTheB and become a new patron. I want to thank Katie Quiznos, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Charles Bangwiener, John Bodley, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerfort, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, Travis Peterson, Tor Malkovich, and Heriberto are some honorable mentions there. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. You guys are the best. And again, thank you for your support. And if you want to support, then go to patreon.com/TNTheB and keep the podcast going. All right. I'll see you guys next week.